I'm very passionate about supply chain. Winning the Africa Supply Chain Excellence Award was not about the trophy. It means something because it shows that the work we do, strengthening public health sector's village reach, truly matters. It was a recognition that the real change is possible when we work together, when we improve our system in a structured and in management way. And at the end of the day, supply chain for me is not about trucks, warehouse. It's about people.
Welcome to Supply Chain Now, the number one voice of supply chain. Join us as we share critical news, key insights, and real supply chain leadership from across the globe, one conversation at a time.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Scott Luton and special guest host, friend for life, Dynamo, industry Dynamo, Jenny Froom with you here on Supply Chain Now. Welcome to today's show. Hey, Jenny, how you doing?
Doing really well. And after that introduction, I'm doing even better. Thank you very much. It's great to be back.
It is great to have you back. I've really enjoyed your appearances, but also our collaborations over the years. And I'm really excited to dive into this show here today because, folks, as part of our ongoing Supply Chain Leadership Across Africa series, which Jenny and I started forever ago, we welcome a wonderful conversation and panel to the show, all that are helping to innovate and celebrate the supply chain industry really all across the globe, but certainly across the vibrant African continent. Now, in today's conversation, we're going to be dialing in on some of the top supply chain trends impacting industry today. We're going to be talking about the Africa Supply Chain Excellence Awards, which is celebrating its big fifth anniversary this year. And we're going to be talking about some of the critical elements to supply chain leadership, no matter where your organization is. Jenny, all that and much more. Should be a great show, huh?
It's going to be fantastic.
All right. So helping us with the conversation here today, we are joined, Jenny and I, by a couple of wonderful guests and friends, starting with Liesl DeVet, director and a big champion of the Africa Supply Chain Excellence Awards and head for accelerated organizational sustainability with Unitrans. So it's great to have Liesl join us. And she's joined by Angelina Kumba, manager access to health products for one of our favorite nonprofits out there, Village Reach, and also a past winner of the Africa Supply Chain Excellence Awards in the humanitarian supply chain leadership category. Liesl, how are you doing today?
Ah, Scott, I'm good, and you?
Wonderful. Even better now that we have all y'all joining us here today. And Angelina, great to see you again. How are you doing?
Thank you, Scott. I'm doing fine. Thank you so much for the invitation.
You bet. Jenny, now, while Angelina and Liesl are friends of mine, y'all go way back, Jenny, I think, with these two dynamos. You're ready for a great conversation. And what do you expect from Liesl and Angelina here today?
Yes, I'm very much looking forward to it. Yes, I go back a long way with both inspiring ladies. But I am expecting everyone listening to leave with one thing that is going to inspire them to be better, do better, and just learn from these incredible supply chain leaders.
I'm with you. And you know what? I think you're lowballing with one. I'm expecting 17 things here today. Yep. From Liesl and Angelina and Jenny. So we'll see. But hey, we'll start with a fun warm-up question. And Liesl, I'm so jealous because you shared this in the green room. I love penguins. The couple times I've been to Cape Town, I've been Jenny's friends have been kind enough to take us to the Penguin Rescue Centers. Ken Titmus, by the way, shout out to Ken. Mm-hmm. And Liesl, one of your hobbies is adopting penguins. Tell us more.
Absolutely. Well, SANCOB, the South African National Conservation of Coastal Birds in South Africa, you can adopt a penguin. Anyone can go and adopt it. And it's basically they allocate one of their rescue penguins to you virtually. So you don't actually take the penguin home, sadly, but you pay for the rehabilitation of that penguin. And the funding then goes towards the rehabilitation of other penguins. And there's lots of things you can do. You can adopt an egg. You can adopt a hatchling. You can pay for some food for them. And they really, you know, our penguins are on their critically endangered wildlife list. And they're such an important part of our biodiversity. And that's what they represent to me. They're a very important key. And I stay close to Simonstown and, you know, I get to go and walk on the boardwalk there, get to see the penguins in their natural habitat. It's just an amazing thing to see. And I think that's one of the great things about living in Cape Town. You're sort of immersed in that biodiversity, which makes the mission and the passion around sustainable supply chain very tangible for me.
Oh, my gosh. Jenny Froom. I love all of that. And quite a picture that Liesl paints. And plus, come on, it's penguins. Who doesn't like penguins? Your thoughts are, Jenny?
Gorgeous.
100%. And having been there myself and seen them in their natural environment and doing the site visit to Sandcob a couple of years ago at the SAPIX conference and hearing everybody's inspiration about the work that these people do to preserve the lives of these valuable animals on our planet, it's really very, very, very humbling. And it makes us realize that we all need to do more to protect these species while they're still alive.
Jenny, well said. You see the difference between me and Jenny? All you got to say is penguins with me, Liesl, and I feel like a five-year-old again. Jenny, as always, is poetic and challenging us to a leadership initiative and imperative that we should all accept. So, Jenny, well said, as always. And, folks, if you go to Cape Town, you got to go to the beaches and see the penguins, but you also got to go to the nonprofit organizations that rescue these penguins, because it really is just remarkable. Okay, so we're going to shift from penguins to some of where Angelina spends her time, her free time, when she's not doing big things in the supply chain, singing and cooking. Angelina, I love the combination. So tell us more.
Yes, that's, I love penguin. Unfortunately, we don't have penguin in Mozambique, but I love singing. Singing is the opposite of my day-to-day life. It allows me to slow down, breathe, and simply be present. It's not about performance metrics, about expression and joy. And cooking on the other side, I love cooking for people. It's deeply personal. I love exploring different flavors and dishes, special from different culture. Food tells stories. So about identity, history, and community. I always like to try different types. So there's something powerful about just taking simple ingredients and transform them into a meal that brings people together around table, conversation happens, laughter happens. So these are the two things that really brings me to that space in many ways. So thinking and cooking keep me balanced. They remind me that while structuring is important, supply chain is important in my way, creativity and connection, but I just as essential in life. So that's my two things, cooking and singing.
I love that, Angelina. And as you said there, food does indeed tell stories. It brings folks together.
Yeah.
And you also painted quite a table. And I should just say that I enjoyed singing and cooking. And then Amanda made me stop singing and then stop cooking. But Angelina, quick follow-up question before I get Jenny's take. You mentioned some of the food you like, right? Of diverse culinary styles and types of food.
Yeah.
But singing, what do you sing? What's your favorite genre?
Oh, my God. I love singing gospel music. I like singing gospel music. I think it's my own way of confessing with God, my own way of talking to God, talking to the universe, or talking to high power. Like, it's because I'm singing from my soul, and I love it. I connect, and I'm there in that moment. So, because each and every word is like I'm communicating to someone, so I love it.
Fantastic. Fantastic. All right. So we heard a lot from Liesl and Angelina, but Jenny, your quick comments. First, do you sing while you cook as well, Jenny?
No, apparently I'm a really bad singer, but I think I sound like Olivia Newton-John, which is my idol, and I always wanted to be just like her, but sadly, apparently not. My brother has a tape of me aged about 14 singing Hopelessly Devoted to You, which I think he still has and threatens to bring out every now and again. So no, singing is not my thing. Cooking, I wanted to be a cookery teacher, home economics teacher. And because of that, I hate cooking now. So
interesting.
Just as well, I never became that teacher.
Well, on a related note, though, because one of the themes here we've talked about really over the years is that work-life balance. And no matter if you're singing or you cook or you take care of penguins or many other things, just important that you find that. Your thoughts here, Jenny.
Yeah. So very, very near and dear to my heart right at the moment. I'm in recovery from quite a serious brain bleed back in June. And I realized that I really don't have any hobbies because I have spent the last 30 years working and promoting supply chain management. And now every time I switch on the television, everyone's talking about supply chain management. You can't escape it. So I urge every single supply chain professional out there, find a hobby now so that should, God forbid, anything bad happen to you, you've got something that takes your mind off anything negative. You've got somewhere to escape to. You can sing like Angelina or you can walk on boardwalk with penguins, but find that hobby because it's just so important not to lose the passion for something other than your work.
Well said.
Agreed.
Well said, well right? Said. And there's one actionable, that's the first actionable piece of advice you're going to get from this awesome panel here today. So Jenny, well said, and great to see you back up and at 'em and doing what you do. So Jenny, Angelina, and Lisa, look forward to a great conversation here today. Now we got to get into business and supply chain. That's what we do. So before we start talking about the Africa Supply Chain Excellence Awards and the program and the opportunity and some of the winners, like we got one here today, I want to get all of y'all's observations on some of the top trends impacting supply chains really across the African continent. We can talk global if you'd like, or you can talk different parts of Africa, different countries. As we all know, it's a continent filled of wonderful nations and communities and traditions and people. So, Lisa, I want to start with you. When you think of a couple of top trends or topics that's front and center here today, at least maybe from your purview, what would you share with us?
So for me, obviously something close to my heart with the portfolio I'm in is sustainability within supply chains. And I'm not talking financials, well, financial sustainability for sure, but definitely the impact of climate change and climate-related weather on supply chains. I think it's become quite a risk. We've had a lot of hectic weather globally, even from the beginning of this year. You have geopolitical issues potentially impacting our supply chains. And the resilience and the adaptability is essential now. And I think we're heading into a world where we're going to have a lot more disruptions. And how we negotiate that? How do we move goods around if there's not enough fuel? You know, what alternatives are there in order for us to transition to cleaner energy? That's really important. And I think Africa has got a great advantage here in terms of leapfrogging already what's happening in more developed nations and building, starting off on a correct note. The role of technology is another massive game changer, and that's evolving as time is continuing. But we've got AI coming in now. What does that look like? We've got robots and warehouses. There's all sorts of exciting developments, but what does that mean for us? And I think especially in a continent such as Africa, what does that look like? What does it mean when a lot of households don't even have access to basic electricity and water? You know, how do you navigate that and bring that into the supply chain? So those, to me, are two big game changers. I think technology will change a lot of things. And, you know, just getting the fundamentals right. You know, there's some simple solutions that one can actually embed in supply chains, especially in African supply chains, that might not be happening, like a cold storage or cold chain solution, which enables product to get to market in a better condition, will enable the solution to be more sustainable, that needs to be focused on. So I think we shouldn't lose sight of getting those fundamentals right, getting those processes right. That's key critical as well.
Lisa, what a terrific macro view of so many things that of course, are impacting supply chains across Africa, but a lot, every part of the world, from technology to climate change to, of course, how organizations are kind of trying to unlock the sustainability imperative that's out there. And I would argue that some folks may say that it's taking a back seat. I think a lot of leading organizations.
No, definitely not.
It hasn't. Yeah, Liesl. Also, you mentioned, of course, the fundamentals, right? In this golden age of supply chain tech, there's still so many process and human-driven fundamentals that could unlock big, big gains with any organization. So good stuff there, Liesl. Jenny, I want you get you to comment really quick before I shift over to Angelina. What was your favorite observation there that we heard from Liesl?
Yeah, I think everybody is immediately attracted to the bright, blingy solution or the bright, blingy process, or we forget the fundamentals, we forget the basics. And I think especially here in, well, I'm talking from a South African perspective, but also an African perspective, there are so many basics that people don't even think are basics. And I know Angelina can talk more to that from the work that the community health worker has to do, that Village Reach is such a great supporter of. They have to magic supply chain processes out of nothing. Forget AI, forget anything. So there's a heap of fundamentals that we, A, mustn't forget, and B, the people part of that process is still phenomenally important.
That's right, Jenny. That's right. And by the way, Angelina, I'm coming to you. Folks, go run and go check out villagereach.org and learn more about the mission that Jenny mentioned. It's a terrific, terrific organization. Angelina, same question. Trends that you're seeing impact your part of the world?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Scott. So what I see, supply chain across Africa at the turning point. We are moving away from seeing logistics as a transactional activity, simply moving goods from point A to point B. But we are seeing towards viewing supply chain as a strategic system design. So this shift is very important because system determine outcome, right? When the structure improves, performance improves, and when performance improves, lives improve. So we are seeing, for example, we are seeing the recognition that supply chain requires trained professionals, special community health workers, as Jen shared, like governance framework, structured performance management. It is no longer an administrative afterthought. And we also see that government now are increasingly exploring private sector engagement, having structured public-private partnership, not as a shortcut, but as a strategic for efficiency and also cost transparent. I think one of the things also that I'm seeing more, special post-COVID, Scott, supply chain resilient is now understood as a national security. And in public health sector where I'm working, resilient is directly linked to equity. So it's a question of who received the medicine on time and who doesn't. So the biggest shift is that supply chain is now seen as a development accelerator, not just as a one of the technical thing, but I think we are really moving in the right direction. And I just comment on what Liesl said about the sustainability. It's not only environmentally, it's also about operational and financial. You know, it's a system. If a system is sustainable, when it comes, it can continue functional effective over the time, even under pressure. It's very sustainable. And also, as technology plays a big role right now, she talks about AI. So digital tools can improve visibility, also strengthen focusing, but it needs to fit into the reality. It needs to make sense. So Africa is in the right direction, but we need to make sure that we have the right leadership, right mindset, and the right culture, and the right regulation and policy that allows to integrate these new beautiful things that are happening in supply chain.
Angelina, well said. A couple of my favorite parts there we heard there from Angelina, Jenny. It's really interesting to see some of the innovative relationships and partnerships between the public and the private sectors, right? And Angelina and Village Reach has got lots of examples of that. Folks have to reach out. And then secondly, the holistic definition of sustainability. I think a lot of times as humans, our brain goes to very certain portions of the sustainability equation just without even thinking. And I liked her very holistic thoughts there on what sustainability really means to organizations. Your thoughts, Jenny?
Yeah, I think that, you know, for me, sustainability has always been about the training of supply chain professionals and making sure that there is a constant pipeline of people who A, know what the profession is, and B, how to do it, no matter what industry or sector they decide to go into. Because without that, then supply chain management itself is not sustainable.
Hmm. Interesting, Jenny Froome. Liesl, Angelina, Jenny, good stuff. All right, so I really wish we had a couple hours just to explore what all three of y'all shared in just your observations of industry, but we got to celebrate the Africa Supply Chain Excellence Awards. And we're going to get to the why first, and then we're going to celebrate Angelina's award as one of the winners last year, I believe. So let's start with the why first. Jenny, let's start with you, and then we'll get Liesl's take here. But when did the ASCEA start, and why did it start?
So I blame Liesl De Wet entirely for this. Over tea one day, she challenged me to partner with her in starting up ASCEA, as we affectionately call it, because supply chain management across Africa needs to be celebrated, or excellence. And for me, that was, you know, at the time working with SAPIX and championing, you know, that word, were all through constantly. It was a natural platform for us to progress to and to help set up. And from that moment, it has been such a privilege. And the judges that we work with, and I'm sure Liesl will talk more about them, but the experience, I think we worked out that there's like 500 years worth of supply chain experience between them. It's outstanding. It's exceptional. And anybody who says old people can't bring things to the table doesn't know our judge. Not that they're old, but the experience that they bring, and the mentorship and the advice and just everything that they bring to these awards is absolutely outstanding. So 5 years ago, that's where it started. The why is because we wanted to celebrate supply chain excellence across the continent. And the how is by collaborating with really, really clever, exceptionally talented individuals who are as passionate about supply chain management in Africa as we are.
Outstanding. So Liesl, before I get your take here, I want to share this with folks. Folks, if you want to learn more about ASCEA, how about that? ASCEA, the Africa Supply Chain Excellence Awards, go to ASCEA.co.za, or some folks say ZA. You can go find the URL and a wealth of information and nominate. Liesl, what would you add to that origin story that Jenny just shared?
I had a passion for supply chains. We just come out of COVID, and we wanted to bring something back to the industry. We wanted to uplift. You know, the supply chains took a big knock under COVID, and you know, we wanted to give something back and look at Africa, because Africa defines resilience. You know, there's a saying that Africa's not for sissies, and it's very true. You know, you need to know your stuff in Africa. And simplistic supply chain, or even a complicated supply chain model, looks very different than a European one, for example. And I wanted to celebrate that. And we wanted to create something, and one of our taglines is by the industry, for the industry, a culmination, a group of supply chain professionals who've been in the industry for many, many years, getting together and saying, right, let's evaluate these entries. Let's see, you know, where they're at, what they're excellent at, and then let's share the stories and the conversations to inspire and highlight things that worked well in this space. And I'm delighted that we 5 years down the track. I mean, there were years there that I thought, geez, like, how are we going to keep this going? But it's just every year we get these most incredible entries in that are so inspiring. And it's one of my favorite things at the moment is to listen to some of these great supply chain stories. And that's why we do it.
Mm. Liesl, I love it. And clearly you and Jenny and the team approaches this as a project of passion. And that comes across in how both of y'all spoke to it. So, Angelina, hearing that from Jenny and Liesl, you know, kind of the why, the how, the what, and all that good stuff, and the need, I would add to that. What's your observations there, Angelina?
So, for me, I always say everyone loves me. I'm very passionate about supply chain. So, for me, winning the Africa Supply Chain Excellence Award was not about the trophy. It means something, because it shows that the work we do, strengthening public health sectors, village reach truly matters. It was a recognition that the real change is possible when we work together, we improve our system in a structured and in management way. And at the end of the day, supply chain for me is not about trucks, warehouse. It's about people. It's about where the clinic has vaccine or children has vaccine. It's about whether mother can receive treatment or not. It's about trust in the health system. So this program, people, they really need to see that it's beyond tools, processes. These are new people. This is a program that really brings solution for Africa, and we really need to embrace it.
Angelina, you know, one of the things I heard there in your response, beyond, you know, there's certainly a big need to celebrate and recognize call time out for a second amongst all the work and leadership we do and celebrate those folks that are making that are driving the industry forward. But one of the things I heard in your response there, Angelina, is the power to share these stories and these ideas and these outcomes and how they're generated with the rest of industry. So it helps to drive innovation, no matter where, again, your organization may be or what industry you may be in. Angelina, is that one of the things you were communicating there?
Yes, that's one thing that I want to communicate. And I also wanted also to say that the award reminded us that Africa has the talent and the capability, you know, to design really strong solution. So what actually we need is discipline, courage, and improve what is working with confidence in our own solution. So this program really brings the work that is being done, talking from the village reach, when the system becomes clear, more organized, we'll save lives. Your planning improves, you control costs better. But most important, you increase access, especially for the rural and underserved community. So for my personal, that is why I do this work, because behind every distribution plan, behind every process, there are real people waiting.
So clearly, Angelina Kumba and Village Reach are certainly one of our favorite winners and stories and organizations doing great work, serving a noble mission. And that really begs a question, Liesl and Jenny. And it's not a fair question, because we'd be here all day talking about some of your favorite stories and winners and nominees over the years. But Liesl, I'm coming back to you first. What are a couple of those that you'd share that were some of your favorites?
So I actually want to highlight two that are my favorites. The one was from SA Harvest. There's a lot of hungry people in South Africa, particularly. I mean, the number is quite staggering. I used to work for an NGO many years ago in my career, and then as they were talking about 1 million children go to bed hungry, now the numbers jumped to more than that. And it's significant. And they had a solution which used reverse logistics and also their own supply chain solution to feed over 100,000 meals a day. I mean, that's significant. And not only that, from an environmental perspective, by avoiding food to landfill, they saved about, I think the number here is 53,000 tons of carbon emissions, avoidance to landfill. So it's a great story of not only addressing a societal need, but then also addressing an environmental need that came together using circular economy principles, which is great, such as reverse logistics. My second one is, we have a university here called the University of Stellenbosch, and they partnered with an EV bike company called Roam and created a bike, and they actually traveled from Stellenbosch to Nairobi on this bike, and charged along the way with solar charging power and looked at that microgrid of EV bikes. And it's so exciting and how they could carry loads, and because it's amazing what happens on bikes, especially within the African context, the type of things they move, even livestock and, you know, a lot of wood and heavy stuff like that. And they tested it out on the bikes and they got to meet the communities they drove through. In fact, they're actually going to be doing a documentary on this trip and this journey. But it was done by students, and very exciting, you know, testing the equipment, partnering, understanding how they run in these kind of conditions, maybe where the road infrastructure is not as good as what it could be. And I really love that. It's a cleaner alternative. So that was a great story as well.
Love both of those. And there's many, many more where those two came from
more.
And where Angelina
so
came
many
from.
More.
So folks, again, you'll have to plug in. And Jenny, again, it's an unfair question, but a couple of your favorites have come to mind. And by the way, I should just check in with you. That University of Stellenbosch that Liesl mentioned, is a term of endearment there. Is it Stelly? Is that what I've heard you say earlier? Stelly's. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. So Jenny, I love that. We love nicknames around here. What's a couple of your favorite stories, winners, you name it?
So for me, and I still call myself a non-supply chain person because I've never been in the thick of it. I know running an event is equivalent to supply chain management, but it's not the real nuts and bolts of it. But there have been so many different ones over the 5 years, and they're all actually on the website. So if you want to take a look, anybody who's listening who is interested, there really are. And they range from railway improvements, which is critical, especially in our country and across Africa, to the manufacture of explosives, to the oil and gas, and all those industries that we traditionally equate with supply chain management and supply chain management efficiencies. My particular heartfelt favorite from last year, was it last year? No, year before, sorry, was the Loop Foundation, the Loop Commission, which is an organization in Eswatini, formerly Swaziland. And they were exceptionally badly hit during COVID. They run a hospital and they call their patients very, very important. They're VIPs and they just do everything with compassion. And their supply chains on all levels, not only are they life-saving, the whole drone deliveries that have had a fantastic result in Black Mamba snake bite deaths by getting the anti-venom to people quickly in difficult situations, but also when during COVID they couldn't import oxygen because they imported from South Africa, what did they do? They built an oxygen manufacturing plant. And, you know, that for me is just so symbolic of what we were talking about with African supply chains and resilience. And so that one definitely, I mean, long before the awards, hearing their story was quite amazing. And sadly, as a result of the funding cuts, et cetera, they've had a particularly hard time of it. But again, going back to resilience and passion and commitment, they continue to do the work that they were put there to do. And I'm full of admiration for everything that they do, but also what supply chain professionals do in general. And to be able to have a platform like the Askia is just so exceptional. And I'm hopeful that we can shine the light brightly on Addis Ababa Airport at the moment, that is going to be taking so much flak from Dubai. So much of the load from Dubai and from Doha, and people will hopefully understand what an amazing hub it actually is. That I think that, you know, if we're going to try and find positives out of negatives, looking closely at supply chain solutions is definitely one that can do that.
Well said. I completely agree. And I want to go back to the Loop Commission. We enjoyed meeting, I think it was Echo Vanderwall.
Echo.
So folks, if you want to learn more about the Loop Commission and the incredible work they're doing in Eswatini and probably through the region, you can go to lukecommission.org. And if you're in a position to donate and help support the mission, please do. Okay. So, Angelina, just want to get your quick comment. We heard some great stories there from Liesl and Jenny, some of their faves, and there's so many. And folks, you have to go to the website to learn more. But Angelina, what stood out to you? What did you love about their stories there?
So these are real stories, folks. These are real stories, real experience. And it really shows that, you know, with love and passion and working together, you know, as a continent, as a country, we can really come up with solutions that can easily help our community without putting burden into the system. That's why I was saying, if you hear me from my comment, when I was like, one of the things that we need to, I give, like, if you add advice to the leadership, I said leadership really requires the confidence to examine the existing systems and ask whether they are fit for today's reality. Like, many of our systems, we are designing different contents under different constraints. As the environment evolves, leaders must also be willing to adapt and improve them, and respectfully and collaborative, of course. So it's really very important that we see supply chain as a life-saving
living and breathing, right?
Yes.
Living, yeah.
Yes, yes. So strong supply chain really depends on a consistent attention to day-to-day data that helps to make decisions. Performance, what is working, what is not working. Like you ask yourself, you know, when you're designing a process or a strategy, you ask yourself very practical question like, who is responsible when something goes wrong? Where do delays usually happen? Who carries the risk when performance is weak? And what happens when the donor funding ends? So everything that Lisa and Jen was saying, it really speaks volume, and we really need to think outside the box, because if those basic questions are not cleared, are not answered, problem repeat itself. But we are seeing that most of the companies and organization, last mile organization, are in thinking outside the box. And the story that Jen shared really tells us that we just need to breathe and really think, and we can find a solution together.
I completely agree. And, you know, challenge all assumptions. And you know, there's several themes there in your response. But, you know, there's Ron Popeil was a famous American infomercial king. And he came up with a variety of products over the years. And one of his trademark phrases that I talk about a lot, because it was in part of my upbringing, was he had this device where he'd cook chicken in a rotisserie. And his tagline was set it and forget it, meaning the chicken would have a timer and all that stuff. Well, I've always thought about that in supply chain terms, especially here in the modern age where there's very little when it comes to supply chain management that we can set it and forget it. And that kind of goes to one of the themes you were talking about there, Angelina. All right. So, and rest in peace, one dear Ron Popeil. All right. So let's do this. I want to share a couple images. Because you folks, you need to get a kind of a look and feel. There's lots of energy and love and passion. And I'm going to share a couple of pictures, I think, from 2024, I think. Y'all correct me if I'm wrong here. But lots of, hey, enjoying. Angelina, did you cook any of that?
No, I'd love to.
I'm only kidding. I know your passion for all things culinary. But lots of kindred spirits, lots of collaboration, lots of camaraderie and fellowship. And you were talking about lights, Jenny. Man, look at the lights, the spectrum of lights in that gorgeous room there. And we want to just encourage folks. This is what you're going to find at the top when you venture over to ASCEA.co.za. Celebrating Africa Supply Chain Excellence by the industry, for the industry. And entries are currently open. They're all due April 30th, if I've got that right. So that's just a month and some change by the time this publishes, a month and a half, month and some change away. So act now. Okay. I feel like Ron Popeil there a little bit, Lisa, Liesl and Jenny and Angelina. Channeling my inner infomercial, maybe. So, Liesl, I'll circle back to you. And I want to talk about what's new for ASCEA in 2026. What comes to mind, Liesl?
Well, we're definitely getting a higher standard of entry than what we got before and earlier, which is great. You know, usually it's like a lastminute.com, everything comes flying towards the end, but we're seeing a really higher level of entry now, which is exciting. So I'm looking forward to that. We've also got some new sponsors on board, which is exciting. And we've got a new headline sponsor called Newland. They're a property group in warehousing, etc. And we're very excited to have them on board. So that's really going to help us a lot. So really excited about these things. And actually, you know, with Jenny and the team, we really are looking at taking the awards to just that next level up. We can feel there's a shift, a level up shift. Mm-hmm. And looking forward to sharing the new stories with everyone from the new award entrance. But I'm really excited about the future. I think Africa is a lot of business opportunity, and it's growing at a rapid rate. And we're great that we're on the forefront of that growth moving forward.
Liesl, love it. Lots of things to be excited about. And Jenny, man, the competition gets tougher and tougher. Your thoughts on what's new this year?
Yeah, for me, I think it's the understanding of supply chain management that is new. Every news item that you listen to, somebody's supply chain is being affected or disrupted or something. So more and more people are realizing, oh, hang on, I actually am doing what they're talking about. So there's a lot of free advertising, if you like, because 5 years ago or before COVID, actually COVID was probably our greatest advert, was that people didn't know what supply chain management was. Now they know more, and it's not just when it doesn't work, they know about it. They're actually starting to question it and value it now. And I think that that for me is what's new. As a result of which, there are lots of different people talking about lots of different elements of supply chain. And I think that, you know, to be able to hold our heads up and say, we celebrate end-to-end supply chain management is what makes me very, very proud. And I think that that's something that the judges have instilled in us, is that it doesn't matter what industry it comes from, they're judging the supply chain and the end results. And I think that's what really we go into 2026 with that at front of mind.
Love that, Jenny. And, you know, some folks will say end-to-end supply chain is a phrase that has long gone. I disagree. Yeah. I think for me, it kind of illustrates some of the points you're making. And, you know, it's also interesting at the same time. I think the phrase supply chain also continues to evolve, right? Generations ago, really, a lot of folks would argue it really meant to just the logistics and the movement, not just the logistics and the movement, right? Transportation. But I love how it's grown to be much more holistic, which is one of the themes in your response there, Jenny. Angelina, I want to get you to weigh in. So first off, are you ready to repeat? Because it sounds like the competition has upped the ante, Jane. Angelina, you up to the task though, right?
I would love to, but let me give chance to others because I've learned a lot. It was very, like, one of the educational process through this with the judges, like, preparing you, give your input, and really help you to see things in different angles. So it was really an interesting process, and I recommend people to participate, especially women, to participate in this program. So, yeah, regarding that, I'm fortunately not this time because I'm still really processing all the learnings that I got from the last event. So it was very, very interesting event, and I really recommend people to join.
Love it. Angelina, I thought you were going to start a dynasty of winning 7 years in a row or something. You can do it, I know. But kidding aside,
I'd love to.
Kidding aside, I really appreciate your comment there about learning. And you know, there's so many, whether it's the ASCEA or whether it's these developments that we see nonstop, there's so much we can learn and apply leadership-wise, supply chain management-wise, you name it. And I love your call out there. Hey, Jenny and Liesl, really quick, I want to double-check a couple critical details. So April 30th is when the cutoff is, the deadline is for nominees, right? So folks,
correct,
get to work.
Yeah.
For nominees, and I should have read the details earlier, but is there a high level, not restriction, but is there a high level, these are the Africa Supply Chain Excellence Awards. Where do organizations need to be based, I guess, Liesl?
Africa.
Okay. All right.
So that is one of our requirements, because otherwise we would not be true to the name. But projects in Africa, headquartered in Africa, that would be perfect.
Okay, so international organizations that have it, as long as they have an operation or a footprint across.
Yes.
Okay, great. So really, that's I love the focus, and also it's open to a lot of folks. So folks, get those entries in. The dinner, I want Jenny, August 19th, I believe, the gala where you celebrate the winners. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. And it's in Gauteng. I was just going to say one of those examples would be Books for Africa that won, thanks to your introduction, Scott. And that's an organization based in the US. But what they do to enable people to have access to books, thousands of books all around Africa, is absolutely a supply chain of note. So, you know, they entered, they won, they do incredible work. But I go back to the other industries as well. We've got lots of humanitarian examples because obviously those are the ones that I think we can all relate to. But there are some other outstanding industrial supply chain stories that are of equal, equal importance.
We're also looking for projects and case studies. So we're not looking for individuals. We want the supply chain story. So either the end-to-end or the project or whatever component it is, but it has to be a proper case study or project within the supply chain or the entire end-to-end supply chain.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And all these details and guidelines, of course, can be found at the website. Again, ascea.co.za. And going back to what Jenny commented about Books for Africa, you can learn more. Great nonprofit, booksforafrica.org. Fatima Lawson and my friend Patrick Plonsky. And of course, the board and leadership doing great work there and celebrating a long legacy of giving forward. Okay. So open for sponsors, open for nominees, open for supporters. If you're on the fence about whether or not you can support what's going on, reach out to Jenny and Liesl. I'm sure they'll find a way to get you plugged in. All right. So, Angelina, I'm going to start with you on this next question. You've already answered this question, I think, numerous times. But I'm going to circle back again because I really enjoy your perspective. So when it comes to leadership's been a big theme here today. It usually is.
Yeah.
When it comes to critical elements of supply chain leadership that really fuels organizational excellence and performance and winners at ASCIA, what's one or two things that come to mind, Angelina?
So a couple of things come in mind, right? So I believe that first, leadership requires the confidence to examine the existing system and ask whether they are still fit for today's reality. As I said, many of our systems were designed in different contexts and under different constraints, right? As environment evolved, it is very important for our leaders to really understand that and to adapt to the new reality. And one of the things that I also would like to say is supply chain leaders is not only about, as I said, transport and warehouse. It requires understanding the financial flow, like regulatory environment, policy constraints, again, private sector engagement, and community level reality. All these elements are interconnected. So it's very, very important. But the last point that I think is very, very important, Scott, is ownership. And perhaps most important, leaders must prioritize building local capacity, right? Our last mile community health workers, our frontline people are crucial, especially in the public health sector. So when you are saying sustainable excellence cannot be really indefinite on external support. Long-term resilience, you know, comes with a system like local owned and local managed, continually strengthen, you know, our African professionals. So for me, truly sustainability comes when, as Jen said, capacity embedded within our national system. So our leaders need to make sure that they understand that these are different times. Supply chain is no longer the same supply chain 100 years ago. We need to take a step back and say to our system, okay, what should we need to do? What needs to change? And make sure that we create the local capacity that can be able to respond to the new environment, emerging things that are coming right now. The new generation must be ready for these challenges. So our supply chain needs to be ready, but needs to start with the leadership. You know, leadership needs to have the right mindset, the right understanding, the right culture to be able to address this new reality.
What a masterclass response. And two of the many elements there, ecosystem level views, right, of the so many stakeholders that make up global supply chains as living organisms, right? And then secondly, ownership, the power of ownership, Angelina. Yeah. And we heard her stress that. So important. Liesl, that's going to be tough to add to that. It's a thought-provoking answer from Angelina. But Liesl, when it comes to supply chain leadership, in your view, that drives excellence and performance, your thoughts?
Continuous improvement is a big one. And continuous improvement built on solid foundation. I think all those iterations of continuous improvement are essential to find that operational excellence in your business. That's very important. And the other one is also linking to that is one of my favorite quotes from Marcus Aurelius, who he says, what does not benefit the hive does not benefit the bee. So we're all living in this ecosystem. We're all interconnected. And I think looking at just one part is very limiting. You do have to look at the whole end-to-end solution. And I see it specifically also in sustainability. You know, you may have one part where you've got all this eco-friendly packaging and you've got solar on your roof and you're doing everything great, but further down the supply chain, it's not great. Or further up the supply chain, where you're getting your raw materials from is not as green or energy efficient as what it should be. And so that has an implication. So you can't just be excellent in this batch. You've got to look at the whole entire chain to be excellent. And the role and importance of connections and people. I think that's often overlooked.
I agree with you largely. And also, I'm still stuck on the bee thing. I love that phrase. Jenny, I think Liesl said, if it's not good for the hive, it's not good for the bee.
Indeed.
And that is such a great phrase, a new one for me. And by the way, we got to save our bees out there. That's a whole different show.
100%.
But Jenny, comment if you would, on what we heard from Angelina and Liesl on leadership. What's the most important, do you think, in their responses there?
I think that these days, leaders are not necessarily the traditional leading from the front, but there are multiple leaders who lead the small parts of the hive, if you like. And to Liesl's point, it goes back to collaboration and community. And I think all four of us here today are absolute examples of how through that, we are able to put on something as amazing as the Africa Supply Chain Excellence Awards. And we're also able to have such a well-informed discussion now because we've got a great community, and that global community is leadership in itself. And we need to just keep that going. That's so important.
I'm with you, Jenny. I'm with you. And no matter how, for all of us, no matter how small or how big your contribution is, to keep it going, as Jenny mentioned, everyone has a role. And, you know, one of my favorite phrases, Jenny, we've talked about this before, is, you know, if you want to know how you move mountains, it's through millions of small nudges, right? And each of those nudges is very, very important. So great stuff, Jenny Froom, Angelina Kumba, and Liesl DeVette. I want to ask each of y'all, I want to make sure folks know how to connect with you on anything you shared here today, on how you might can collaborate or celebrate your collective success and how you're helping to change industry. Liesl, let's start with you. How can folks connect with anything you're doing and connect with you?
I think the best is via LinkedIn. I have a very active LinkedIn page, and I think that's the best way to connect with the global community as well. And that's exciting. And then just to add to that, Scott, I think passion with purpose is exceptionally important. You can be passionate about something, but if you don't translate that into a purpose and doing, you're not going to move the needle. And that's just one message I'd really love to leave with your listeners today.
Yeah, I love that. You're not going to move the needle or the mountain if you don't activate and funnel and channel that passion into action and purpose, as you put it. Angelina, good stuff. How can folks connect with you, my friend?
Yes. So as you said, the easiest way is LinkedIn. You can find me, Angelina Kumba, on LinkedIn, or you can just email me at angelina.kumba@villagereach.org. And I'd like just to say to the folks out there, Africa does not lack talent in supply chain. What we often lack is a structured platform, you know, to showcase our excellence. So Africa Supply Chain Excellence plays a critical role, you know, in changing that narrative. So we need more African case studies, more African-owned reforms, and more cross-country learnings. So that's what I can leave with the folks right now. Thank you, Scott.
That is outstanding, Angelina. I got to ask you, before I circle back to Jenny, because I should have asked this earlier on the front end, but you mentioned your love for gospel music. Is there one gospel song that comes to mind that really has leadership elements to it? Or one of your favorite songs to sing, Angelina?
Oh, me?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I thought
me. No.
What's one of your favorite songs, gospel songs, to sing, Angelina?
I have many, but the favorite one that I listen every day in the morning is from, who's that playing? Okay, the one is from Hillsong. Yeah, I am. And I like it. And from Tammy Mann as well, Here I Am. So it's one of those songs that just bust your heart, and you can deal with anything any day, anyone. Ooh. Or anything. Yes.
I need to sing that song every morning. Be Amazing. Ready for the day. I love that, yes. Angelina. All right, so we're going to have you back, and we're going to dive deeper into all things music and culinary stuff.
Yes. But
Jenny, great. And Angelina, we put it out there, you know, connect with Angelina and Liesl via LinkedIn. Also, encourage folks to go check out villagereach.org to learn more about the mission they're doing. And, you know, they can use your support as well. So go check that out, folks. Thank you, Angelina Kumba. All right. So, Jenny Froom, thank you for facilitating a great conversation here today. Great to reconnect with Liesl and Angelina. How can folks connect with you on anything you mentioned here today, and anything that you're driving out in industry?
So LinkedIn, obviously, I'm very active on that, and I'm most active in following, liking, and supporting Scott Luton on LinkedIn as I got my badge from LinkedIn. But yeah, LinkedIn's the best way. And I think that the next one we need to do is we need to do a sing-along, supply chain sing-along, and we'll have it. Angelina as our MC.
I love that.
You know what? I love that.
We got to have the happy hour.
Let's see
come
who
back.
Else signs pandemic, up when they hear it.
We're going to do it. We're going to do that. So stay tuned, folks. And kidding aside, Jenny Froom, appreciate all that you do out there. All three of y'all, really. But Jenny, great to have you back. Jenny, Liesl, and Angelina. Big thanks to all three of y'all. Folks, again, please check out the Africa Supply Chain Excellence Awards 2026. It's our fifth year anniversary, doing great things, celebrating incredible leaders like Angelina and the great work that she and her organization have been doing. And as you heard here, the stories are endless, right? But entries close April 30th, so go get those in and support the program however you can. Big thanks to all of our wonderful panel here today. Big thanks, as always, to Jenny Froom. Always a pleasure to collaborate with you. To our Supply Chain Now Global fam, I hope you enjoyed this conversation. Support these awards. And if you can't support these awards, go find awards in your neck of the woods and support the stories that help innovate our industry, right? And transform the industry and leave no one behind. And with that note, you know your homework, right? I bet Jenny knows the homework that we issue all the time here. You got to take one thing from Liesl or Angelina or Jenny Froom, share it with your team, take your passion into purpose, as Liesl mentioned, and do something with it, right? Deeds, not words. That's how we are going to move those mountains through all those millions of nudges. And with all that said, Scott Luton challenging all of our listeners out there, do good, give forward, be the change that's needed. And we'll see you next time right back here on Supply Chain Now. Thanks, everybody.
Join the Supply Chain Now community for more supply chain perspectives, news, and innovation. Check out supplychainnow.com, subscribe to Supply Chain Now on YouTube, and follow and listen to Supply Chain Now wherever you get your podcasts.